Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The Word of God says this. Paul's writing. He says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Let me say that one more time. We know that God causes everything, say everything, to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, if that's true, and we believe the word of God is true, amen? If that's true, then that means that everything that happens in my life, God doesn't necessarily cause it, but he will take it and cause it to work out for my good and your good, amen? And so that means that no matter what I might be dealing with, or no matter what situation or circumstance, amen, you know what that means? That means there's a hidden blessing in every season, in every circumstance, amen? In every obstacle, in every opportunity, in every moment, whether it's pleasurable or not, there is a hidden blessing because God is causing everything to work together for good. Let me say it this way. That means that behind every battle lies a blessing, amen? Behind every battle lies a blessing. And this morning we're actually going to talk about the hidden blessing of battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence in this room right now. Thank you, Lord, that you have, as we've worshiped you and turned our hearts towards you, Lord, I sense that you have, through the power of the Holy Spirit, walked into this room. You are with us right now. And I pray, God, that as we continue to dive into your word together, I pray that we would hear your voice, that, God, we would sense your touch, God, and whatever we need to hear, whatever we need to have imparted, whatever we need to focus on, God, whatever we need to hear you speak this morning, I pray that we receive that in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly. Put your hand on your belly right here in the building if you're watching at home or wherever you're watching from and worshiping with us today. Put your hand on your belly right now. Everyone, repeat this after me out loud. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes, open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Thanks, guys. Listen, has anybody ever experienced some kind of battle, some kind of situation? Let me just ask this. Anybody around here ever got some battles that you're still fighting that you feel like and thought somewhere back in the day, "Man, I thought I'd be over this by now"? Anybody ever got some stuff like that in your life? Everybody that didn't raise a hand is lying, okay? So all the truthful people, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, listen, I don't know about you, I got plenty of issues, plenty of stuff that show up in my life on a regular basis that I often look back and go, "Man, I should really probably have this thing conquered. I shouldn't be fighting the same battle at this place in my life that I've been." And we all probably have different battles, different things that occur. I'll just be completely up front with you, man. A continuous battle for me that I have prayed over, cried over, repented over, and thought to myself time and time again, "Bradley, you ought to be over this thing by now," is my anger and my temper, man. I cover, and that's probably not surprising to many of you. I think there's a lot of anger and rage seething just beneath the surface that comes out as energy sometimes. But man, I mean, that's something I struggle with, man. It's a battle. In fact, just last Sunday, after being here worshiping, I had a moment where that anger and that rage and that temper wanted to fire. I'll just tell you the story. Listen, this is what happened, okay? So if you hear a story about a really good-looking buff preacher that got into it with somebody at the gas station up the street, you know it was me. It happened, okay? Here's what happened. So Michaela is our oldest daughter. She's getting ready to get her license. Pray for me, folks, and honestly, anytime she can get that done. So she's still working on getting some of her hours in, so I'm trying to make sure she drives. Anywhere I got to take her, I can't remember where we had to go, but I was like, if I'm driving you, you're driving. So she's driving. We come up here to the stop sign from Fairfoot Avenue going out onto 1, probably the most dangerous intersection in Franklin County. Amen, somebody. And so she's waiting, and she's, you know, obviously a cautious new driver, and it was a busy Sunday, as it often is with boats and traffic coming out from the lake on a Sunday afternoon. There's a motorcycle, got a motorcycle behind us. So I'm sitting there waiting. I'm probably playing my phone a little bit and just kind of watching. And there was one car that she could have went, and she was a little cautious, didn't go. I was like, "Michaela, dude, you got to go. You're just going to have to get after it and go in the next spot. So sure enough, the next spot, so I said, okay, after this truck, you look like you're good to go. And as she began to go, the guy on the motorcycle behind us got frustrated because she missed one opportunity to go and decided to pass us on the right and jump out in front and go anyway, just as we were going. How many know that's not the way the road works? Amen, somebody. Okay. I figured this is probably the same guy that's going to complain that motorists don't pay attention to motorcycles when he gets blasted on the side of the road somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And so, and if you ride a motorcycle, I'm sure you're safe and know what you're doing. I'm not this, but this guy made a bad move. Michaela, because you're not supposed to look on the right side when you pull out. Right, somebody? You don't think about somebody do that. She was going to go. I said, whoa, stop, stop. She had to stop. The guy buzzed in front of us, and that button pressed, trigger pulled. That was it. I lost it. Rage about to overflow my life, okay? Anger probably justified, actually 100% justified if you ask me, but I was like, you know what? I said, so we're driving. We're going to Gilman's. That's where we're going. We're driving to Gilman's. We're right behind the guy. I said, man, I hope to God this guy pulls into Gilman's because I'm going to tell him off if I see him. Sure enough, he pulls into the Sunoco station right up here by Gilman's. I said, Michaela, pull into the gas station. She's like, no, Dad, I'm not going to go. I said, Michaela, if you don't pull in right in front of that guy, I'm not going to let you get your license. I'm not going to sign off on it. That's how mad I was. She was like, fine. So she rolls up the windows. You know what I mean? She's embarrassed. I'll hop out of my truck. I'm like, hey, bro, what are you doing? Start getting him a piece of my mind. You are driving like a moron. Now, I didn't cuss him out. I didn't sin. I wanted to. I was ready to knock his teeth out. But I in no uncertain terms, let him know I didn't appreciate the situation they put himself, myself, and my teenage daughter in, a new driver. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. And so either way, so what are you saying? You're saying that's how I should act? No. I know I shouldn't act like that. I'm saying that's still a battle I've got to deal with. Amen, somebody. I could have easily just let it go and said, you know, we're just going to pray for that guy. Probably would have been the right thing to do, but I got this anger and this temper that I'm still struggling with. Amen, somebody? Here's the deal. We got these battles that we're often, you think, I should be over this by now. My God, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I talk in tongues. I pray for folks. I preach the love and compassion of Jesus all the time. I ought to be able to say, it's okay, we're going to let that go, but I still struggle and I still got battles I'm fighting. Amen? Amen? Okay, I've told you my battle. Now let's talk about yours. I'm just kidding. But look, here's the deal. We still got these struggles. We still got these battles. And here's the thing. Sometimes I win those battles. Sometimes I learn from those battles, but I still got the battle. Amen? And we're all in the same boat on that. Now here's the deal. The book of Judges in the Old Testament, if you've never read the book of Judges is one of the most wild Old Testament historical narratives ever. And the book of Judges tells the story of the people of Israel, the children of Israel, after they have spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. They're led out of Egypt by Moses. When Moses dies, Joshua takes over. Joshua leads the people of Israel out of the desert into the promised land of Canaan in the Old Testament. And then Joshua hands over the reins to the next generation of Israelites that are supposed to now conquer the land and live in the promise that God had promised back to Abraham, their forefather, hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. And the book of Judges describes the expansion of the nation of Israel into the promised land. It actually describes the people and the way that the people possessed the promise that God had promised to Abraham way back in the day. You follow me so far? Okay, everybody with me? And the book of Judges is wild. The reason the book of Judges is so wild is because it shows us a picture of what happens when God's people remain primarily leaderless and don't necessarily have a clear voice of prophetic direction saying this is where God has called us to go. And so the Bible says in Judges that everybody was just kind of doing their own thing or just doing what felt right. And the other thing that makes it significant, that reason why Judges is such a wild time, is because none of the people in the book of Judges who are actually possessing the promise, none of them were actually born in Egypt. They were all kids that had been born in the desert and had spent their entire lives, 40 years, wandering around the wilderness, waiting for this promise to come. Okay? And so they're just a different breed, different generation, that didn't have the same foundation that you see in Exodus and prior books of the Old Testament there in that story. And in Judges chapter 3, at the very beginning as the conquest of Canaan starts to happen, this is what the Bible says about what he's about to do in Judges. Listen to this. It says in Judges 3, verse 1, it's going to give us a clue as to why we still face some of these battles. It says, these are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. He did this, listen, he did this, verse 2, to teach warfare to generations of Israelites who had no experience in battle. So what that sets up there is this idea that God allowed some of the nations that the Israelites were called to conquer and to drive out of the land. The Bible says God allowed some of them to remain for a time in order to teach the Israelites how to have war. Because again, you got this whole generation of kids that had been raised up in the desert. Now they're leading. Now they're in charge. Now they're responsible. Yet they don't have any of the warfare training that their moms and dads did as they were going through the wilderness time. Amen, somebody? And so God says, I'm going to leave some enemies. I'm going to leave some battles. I'm going to leave some testing in your life so that you will learn how to do warfare when the time comes. Amen? And so if I have a battle that I am still facing, listen, there is a hidden blessing, and there's actually even a very obvious blessing that we can understand. If you're like me, maybe anger is your thing. Or maybe when I say, man, how many's got some battles you're still facing, and your mind, your heart instantly goes to, yeah, I know my thing. Yeah, I know my junk. Yeah, I know the thing that I often struggle with. I know what you're talking about there. Listen to me close. The blessing, the obvious blessing of battle is this, because God works every battle out for your good, right? Yes. God causes everything to work together for my good, right? Yes. Okay. The blessing of battle, the first blessing is this. Whether this is an inner battle, a struggle that's from the inside, anger, my temper, that's something that's in my heart, although it's usually an outside thing that triggers it. I know that's something in me that happens. Amen, somebody. Or whether it's an outer struggle, somebody coming against you and you haven't done anything, or a situation at work, or a season in a family, or whatever. Whether it's an inner battle or an outer battle, listen, the purpose of the battle is this. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. Because if you have a battle that you're still facing in your life, if you have an enemy that you're still dealing with in your life, I don't care whether it's an addiction, or whether it's some kind of inner thing, whether it's for unforgiveness, whatever the struggle is, listen to me close. Listen, battles are only meant to teach, not defeat. Amen? Judges 3 says the only reason that God allowed the enemies to remain in the land was not to ever defeat the Israelites, was not to ever defeat his people, but was only simply allowed to stay there as a teaching mechanism to teach his people how to trust and how to do warfare in God's way. Amen? So every battle that's in my life, every struggle that I might be dealing with, listen to me, that battle that's in your life, it was never ever meant or allowed there ever in God's mind to bring any sort of defeat to your life. It is only there to teach you something. Amen? Now that's good news, because that means this: no matter how great the battle might seem, no matter how insurmountable the enemy might be, no matter how many times I struggle, no matter how many times I fail, no matter how many times I come up against the same battle, no matter how big it is or giant it is or impossible it may seem to defeat, listen to me, that thing was never meant to defeat me, only to teach me. Which means no matter what I'm facing, God's intent and God's plan and God's will is for me to conquer and get over it. Amen, somebody? How many are thankful for that today? Yes. Battles are only meant to teach, never defeat. Now, why does it even matter if, as God's son or daughter, I learn how to do warfare and I learn how to fight in faith? Listen, here's why. I can't fight for someone else if I've never learned to fight for myself. Amen? I cannot fight for my neighbor who might be struggling if I have never learned to fight for myself in my own struggle. Amen, somebody? Listen, church, believer, Christian, family of God, you need to understand that God has empowered you and I with weapons of warfare, the Bible says, that are not carnal but divine, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, to pull down strongholds. And it is up to us to learn how to use God's weapons, which are right here in his word, to do warfare against the enemy who persists in the world. Amen, somebody? And just so you know, that enemy is not a Republican, he's not a Democrat. That enemy is the prince of darkness, Satan himself, and spirits of darkness in heavenly places, high places that have control and want to wreak havoc upon the earth. Amen? That is who we're doing warfare against. Amen, somebody. But I cannot fight for someone else who's in that struggle if I have never learned to fight for myself. That's the blessing of battle. And that's really the obvious blessing. The obvious blessing of battle is that when I go through a struggle, I get to learn how to trust in God. I get to learn how to exercise my faith and do more in God than I thought I could. Amen? That's the blessing of battle. Turn to somebody and say, the blessing of battle. Okay? And when I learn how to fight for myself, when I learn how to trust God for my own finances, as an example, you're going through a financial struggle. Listen, I've gone through financial struggle over and over and over again in my life. I've seen it time and time again, and I've watched God come through, sometimes supernaturally. It's actually always supernatural. Sometimes the supernatural is obvious. Sometimes God uses a natural thing to do a supernatural thing. Come on, somebody. But I've watched God come through in my life time and time again. I've fought that battle so many times that I can look at anybody in the eye and tell them with a full heart and full assurance of faith that no matter what your financial situation looks like, I promise you, God has a way. Amen, somebody? Why can I? Because I have fought that battle myself. So I can pray and join hands with you and believe with you and share some knowledge with you, share some stuff with you. Come on, somebody. Because I fought that battle myself. Amen? I have fought battles of letting go of hurt and pain and unforgiveness. I know how hard it can be to let go. I've seen that. I've worked that out of my life more than one occasion. So I can stand up with anybody and say, man, if you're struggling with this, here's what God's word says about it. Here's how to get through it. Here's how to wait. Why? Because I fought that battle with myself. Amen? And so now I can fight with you on it. Come on, somebody. So God uses battles to teach us, not to defeat us. Ultimately, so that we can fight for someone else after we learn to fight for ourselves. But there is a hidden blessing in the battle as well. There's a hidden blessing that's just beneath the battle if we get to it. Here's what it is. Judges chapter 3, verse 1 we read earlier says that he left the nations in the promised land in order to test the Israelites. Some translations say. Everybody say test. That word test in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, is literally the word. It translates into the word stress. Everyone say stress. Okay? Anybody ever heard of a stress test? Anybody ever had to take a stress test at the doctor? Or if you're an engineer, you're building a building, you draw up plans, they might run some stress test to stress the structural integrity of a building. Or you might have to do some kind of thing where you get a bunch of diodes and electrodes hooked up to your heart and you run on the treadmill and they do a stress test on your heart. What are they doing? They're trying to put the system, whether it's a physical system or something structural, they're trying to put it in stress so they can see how much stress that system can maintain before the system falls apart. That's a stress test. Stress tests are there to check out and to see the integrity or how much something can take, okay? And that's what that word test is. So really, if you could almost translate that in Judges 3, that God said that he let some enemies, he let some battles, he let them stay around in the Old Testament, he let them stay around the people of Israel in order to stress them a little bit. In order to stress them a little bit. And this is where the hidden blessing of battle and the hidden blessing of testing and the hidden blessing of stressing comes in a little bit. Here's the deal. Because stress shows what's going on the inside of a thing. Amen? You know, you can work out, diet, and you can be, this actually happens to professional bodybuilders all the time. Guys who have 3% body fat and are jacked out of their minds, super giant muscles. But guess what? If they never work out their heart, I can't tell you how many professional bodybuilders I've seen and known of that have died of a heart attack because they never worked out their heart. And on the outside, everything looks amazing. You're like, holy cow, this guy's in amazing shape. But on the inside, what's going on? The system on the inside can't handle nothing but a minimal amount of stress. You follow what I'm saying? And so stress testing, the battle, will reveal to you and I what is going on the inside. when a battle shows up, when a fight shows up, when the test shows up, when the stress shows up, whatever comes out, that's what's going on the inside. Amen? So, the hidden blessing of battle is that I get a chance to see what is actually going on the inside. Because without any stress, without any fight, without any battle, I can get real good at getting everything cleaned up, making everything look nice, and faking my way through something. Amen? But when the button gets pressed, when the battle gets pressed, when somebody makes a ridiculous maneuver on the road that I feel is imposing on my own happiness, what's going on inside? Guess what it shows? Still got some anger you're dealing with, Justin. Still got a little too short of a temper, Bradley. Amen, somebody? Now, that may not sound like a blessing, but the blessing in that is that I then get to go, okay, God, this is what's going on. Now, God, I'm going to bring this to you. Help me with this. Take this thing from me one more time. Forgive me of falling short one more time. God, I still got some work I need you to do in that area of my life. Amen, somebody? So the stress will show what's going on the inside. Now, it might reveal fear. It might reveal areas in the flesh that the Holy Spirit's not in control of yet. It might reveal doubt. Might reveal some worry. Whatever it reveals, I give that to God. Amen? And then God can work on that, and that's a hidden blessing. That's the blessing of battle, okay? Or it might reveal that you are actually stronger and more prepared and more equipped than you even realized you were before the battle came and before the stress came. How about that? Okay? Whatever the stress reveals, that's the truth. That's what's on the inside. And the blessing is that I can either go, okay, God, I see what's going on the inside. I need you to work on that. Or I can recognize, God, man, you've brought me farther along than I realized I was. God, you have been working on me. Because, man, I don't know about you, but I can sometimes go days and weeks and a season of time reading the Bible, praying, coming to church, doing everything I'm supposed to do, and getting into seasons and desert moments and wilderness moments where it's like, God, you're not speaking. God, I'm not feeling your presence. God, that song, that worship song, it's just not the same. What happened? Where is it going? But then all of a sudden, a little stress comes up, and I handle it in the way that I know I'm supposed to handle it. Guess what? God, you have been working. God, you have been hearing me. God, you have been moving in my life. Amen, somebody. That's the hidden blessing of battle. And I don't want us, listen, God has not called us to run away and never face a battle or stress or struggle in our life. Amen? And through every battle, through every struggle, there is a blessing there, a hidden blessing. And that it's that it shows what's going on the inside. Listen, God uses outer stress to reveal inner strength. In fact, he does it so much that apparently I decided to say uses twice. That's how much he does it. Sorry, that's my bad. God uses outer stress to reveal inner strength. And I just want to speak over someone right now. I really feel like somebody right now, either joining at home online or right now in this room, you need to listen to this. God is pleased with your strength. Some of you went through some things over the last few months, few weeks. You didn't know how you were going to make it, but you're here. You made it. Your faith hasn't wavered. Your faith in Christ is still strong. You still stood on the word of God. You made it. We're not maybe through it all yet, but you're here and you're not giving up and you're still fighting. Guess what? God wants to let you know he is pleased with the strength that he's found in you and that you have found in him that's in you. Amen, somebody? God is pleased with your strength. Listen, the battle that you've been going through, the battle that you've been struggling with, the stress that's been going on in your life, guess what? It may have been revealing, and it has revealed to some of you inner strength, inner faith, inner whatever that you didn't know was there. And guess what? Now you're able to take that into the next battle, whether it's for you or it's for somebody else. Amen? In fact, look at what the Word of God says here. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, we can translate that, and it's true, that I find strength in God's joy. Amen? God's joy is a source of my strength. Amen, somebody? But there's another way to look at that, too, that I think is also true, and it's this: that God's joy comes from my strength. The Father in heaven gets boundless joy and pleasure from seeing his sons and daughters live and do and operate in what he's called them to do in his word. He puts a smile on God's face. Just about every morning when I'm in my garage working out, Luca, my four-year-old, makes his way out there. And I'll be doing whatever, and he'll either try to... Sometimes he wants me to pick him up and do pull-ups on the pull-up bar. He's not really doing pull-ups. I'm just kind of throwing him up there, and he's just holding on. Okay. I never forget, but there have been sometimes I'll be doing something. We got these 15-pound balls full of sand. One day he was out there. I was doing a big sandbag, like 100 pounds or something, doing something with it. I looked over, and Luca was doing what I was doing with the 15-pound sandball. Sandbag, picking it up, putting it on top of the bench. He was like, "Look, Dad." The other day, there was either a 30 or 40-pound kettlebell on the ground. And Luca walked over to it, was like, picked it right up like a sumo deadlift. I was like, "Dang." He was holding it going, "Look what I did, Dad." And he dropped it. Like, "Okay, please don't drop it on your toes." Okay. I'll be honest. There are very little things that have put a bigger smile on my face than watching Luca pick up something that I was like, "Dang." You know what I mean? Watching Luca pick up that little 15-pound ball like it was a 300-pound Atlas stone and picking it up and putting it on the bench. That put a smile on my face, boy. I tell you what, I took pictures of it the other day. One day, and he's done various things. I had a video for a long time on my phone where he was flipping a tire, and he would flip it to it, and he was so proud of himself. Guess who was even more proud of him? I was. Watching him get stronger, watching him realize his strength, watching him realize what he can do, man, put a smile on his dad's face. And I got to thinking, man, if watching my son pick up a 40-pound kettlebell or pick up a little 15-pound ball of sand, if it put that big of a smile on my face, how much does God smile when he sees me standing on his word in the midst of a battle? Amen, somebody? How much pride wells up in the Father's heart when his strength shows up in my life in the middle of a battle? Amen, somebody? I just want you to remind yourself, man, when you're going through a stress and when you're going through the battle, guess what? When strength is what's revealed inside because of the stress, you are putting a smile on your Father's face in heaven. Stay on the Lord's place this morning. Because I just have a sense in my spirit today that God wants you to know you put a smile on his face. There's some of you, God wants you to know you have put a smile on his face. You've stood tall through the battle. You're standing tall in the middle of the battle. You're standing tall in the middle of the struggle. You haven't given up hope. You haven't given up faith. Man, your Heavenly Father is finding joy in your strength this morning. Amen, somebody? Your Heavenly Father is finding joy in your strength this morning. And he wants to remind you, man, I just want to remind you today, the battle you're going through, it is only there to teach you, not to defeat you. The battle exists to show you and me victory. The first step to discovering that hidden blessing of battle, the first thing I've got to do, if I'm going to understand the hidden blessing of my struggle, if I'm going to understand the hidden blessing of battle, if I'm going to uncover the hidden blessing of what's going on around me and through the enemies that are around in my life, whether they're inner things or outer things, whatever they are, the first step, guess what, is surrendering to Jesus. I'll never find the hidden blessing of battle unless I first have surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and have accepted his sacrifice for me on the cross. Amen, somebody? If that's where you are today, say, man, I've never accepted Jesus. If you're watching online with us today somewhere, you've never accepted Jesus today, listen, I want you to know, in this building or out of this building right now, Jesus loves you. 2,000 years ago, he showed his love for you and me so much that he gave his life up on a hill called Calvary by allowing himself to be nailed to a cross. And in doing so, he was giving up his life and spending his life for you and for me in my place and your place. Amen? And today, right now, you can know him. Today, right now, you can experience that. Today, right now, you can receive the sacrifice that Jesus made 2,000 years ago for you and me. And it's so simple. It's simple. It may not always be easy, but it is simple. To do that, all you need to do is to recognize that Jesus is who he said he is, that he gave his life up for you, and ask him to forgive you of your sin that caused him to have to go to the cross. Listen, it wasn't just your sin, it was my sin, it was our sin, it was all of our sin. All of our disobedience, all of our mistakes. Jesus took all of it on the cross and nailed it there and left it there. And now today we can receive his sacrifice. In fact, why don't we just close our eyes right now? We just close your eyes. I'm just going to invite you right now. You say, man, I need to make that first step today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. If you're watching online here in just a moment, there's a link in the description of the video, whether on Facebook or YouTube, or you can just put that raised hand emoji up in the comment section and respond, or right here in this building, right now, if that's where you are, say, man, I need to make that first step. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Man, I'm not living for him. Maybe you used to serve God. Maybe he used to be number one. Maybe you used to follow Jesus, but for whatever reason, life has, you've gone down another path. Right now, today, friend, you can come back. His blood is still as powerful today as it was whenever you used to know him and gave your life to him. Listen, wherever you are, you say, man, I'm really not following Jesus, and I need to surrender my life to him, whether for the first time or for the 100th time. Today's the day you can do that. If that's the step you need to take today, I want to ask you right now. I'm not going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you right now. If you say, man, I need to surrender to Jesus. Will you just raise your hand right now over this room, wherever you are? I see a couple hands up. And we're going to pray together. If you're watching at home, pray with us out loud. I want everyone in this room to pray out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus,